Morning, everybody. I trust that everybody is concluding a great Valentine's weekend. My wife reminded me this morning when she put her red on that it was still Valentine's weekend, and I had to kind of change clothes, so I threw a little red to splash it on. But it's so appropriate because Valentine talks about the season of love. And what you don't realize is when you come here every Sunday, we're talking about the greatest love story that can ever be told, and that's the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you're here. If it is your first time here, as I usually like to do, I like to review in case you missed the last couple of weeks. We're on the cost series. We'll give you a warning. We're talking about money. So if you have a lot of money issues or things about money, then you might want to run out. But I promise you, we're going to be nice today. It's going to be a good message. 2 weeks ago, Jeff Jacobs brought us a great message talking about the obstacles that we have when it comes to dealing with our money or giving our money. And he puts lots of things in our mind about what keeps us from being as generous as we could be. And last week, Joe gave us a great illustration of treasure. And he actually brought a chest out that belonged to his relatives when they first moved from Europe over to the United States. It was a chest about that big. And the significance of that is that everything that they owned, they had in that chest. And that was like their treasure. Now, today we're going to do a little bit different spin on the cost series, and we're actually going to talk about value. And I'm going to jump right into the scripture here. Your scripture references are talking about the book of Matthew and the parables that Jesus taught. And these are two of the very short parables that we'll dig into a little bit today. Matthew 13, 44, 46, parables of hidden treasure and the pearl. 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." And it goes on to say, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and he bought it." I had to dig into this a little bit because it was a little bit confusing to me, being different in the culture. But I don't want you to get caught up so much on that. I want you to get caught up on the words kingdom of heaven, because this is what's going to get us to the points that we have today. Now, in your bulletins, again, we put these sheets in here for you all to follow along. So there are two blank things in here that you'll fill these blanks in. Kingdom of heaven is of a measurable value, or it's like hidden treasure. And I'm hoping as we break this down today, we'll talk about this a little bit. Kingdom of heaven is only, the term kingdom of heaven is only mentioned in the book of Matthew, but it's mentioned 32 separate times in the book of Matthew. There's also terms called the kingdom of God. Now, some people say it's the same, some people say it's a little different, and I'm not going to take us through a theological discussion. It's a little confusing because it's not really important. What's important is that you understand the term kingdom of heaven and how it relates to you. And when I tried to break this down for myself, I said the kingdom of heaven is a future event in a present reality. It's also a movement of God's return to authority. And I went back to the first mention of kingdom of heaven in the book of Matthew, and I went back to Matthew 10 when Jesus was first assembling his disciples. And he said, Jesus sent out these 12 after giving them instruction: "Don't take the road leading to other nations and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, announce this: the kingdom of heaven has come near." So this is the first mention of that thing, kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is saying is, you know, hey, what? I'm on the scene. Something is happening. I'm the beginning of something that is getting ready to happen. And you all are a part of that particular movement. And it's important for us to stand that we're not living in the kingdom of heaven right now. But as a church, we are responsible for preparing for the kingdom of heaven. And we're dealing with that in this cost series. What we need to understand as it relates to the kingdom of heaven is value. The stuff we put value on. And lots of times when we deal with what we consider to be of value, we think that's putting us in a better position or a better place because we all seek to do better. We seek to have that heaven on earth right here. And lots of times we seek to have that heaven on earth by the stuff that we have. And when we break down the word value, it can be defined a couple of different ways. As a noun, it's our standard or regard for something. And as a verb, it is an estimated worth. So when we look at value and we take those particular terms, what we do is we apply it to stuff. We apply it to stuff. Jesse talked about it a little bit. He didn't get into the value part of it, but we worry about a lot of trivial things. And our stuff is what we put value in. So I want to reveal a little bit about myself that some of you may know, some of you may not know. But when I was younger, I was a comic book collector. And I put my value in comic books. So what I wanted to do was bring a display of $200 worth of comic books that I had to show you. And I want to show you this. This actually is $200 worth of comic books. Okay? Really is. I paid 60 cents for this one in 83. I paid a dollar for that one in 84. And I looked up the recent value of them. I was reminded of this because as a comic collector, literally, I had thousands of comics. And when my kids grew up, they learned to understand, don't touch my comic books, don't tear them up, don't read them, you know, nothing, because I had value in those comic books. And, you know, when I started out as a boy paying 12 cents, sometimes they could evaluate at $1,000 or so later on. And that value was based on actually the care that I took of those particular comics. Now, even though the excellent quality value of these books are about $200, these books are not of excellent quality. So the value is going to be a little bit less. If you know anything about comics, you have to actually board the comic and you have to bag it and seal it so that the pages don't become wrinkled, that it stays in brand new shape, and that the pages do not yellow. And that is a way that you're going to evaluate that comic by the care and concern you take of it so that it doesn't get corrupted, so it doesn't deteriorate. And it was funny, when I went through my comics, I noticed that my collection, that one of these is from 83, one's from 84, and then it kind of stopped. And then I realized I got married in 83, so my system of values changed after she came into my life, and then so much my want for comics, sort of turned around. But I wanted to also demonstrate the noun portion or what we hold in esteem. I need a volunteer. I'm going to volunteer something. Jason, can you come up here for a second? Jason and I, we were. I'm thankful to know Jason. We were part of an intentional mentoring program. You got your cell phone on you? Go get your cell phone. Somebody might take it if you leave it back there. I would hope that doesn't happen. I want to give you a little demonstration of value. And, you know, since Jason got to know me a little bit when we were doing intentional mentoring, can you let me hold your cell phone? You trust me with this? I can go through it and won't find nothing weird on it or nothing like that. All right, but I want y'all to understand something. How much value do we put in this thing? A lot of value. I have to admit myself, it was the last thing that I looked at before I went to sleep last night. It was one of the first things that I looked at when I got up this morning because I put value in it. Now, you trust me enough to hang on to this, right? Okay. So will you trust me enough like if when we leave service that I can just go on home with it? He's like, yeah, not really. So, you know, I ain't gonna answer your calls and nothing like that. But the value of this phone is different between me and Jason because he cares a lot. He has his information. I don't, you know, it's not my phone. I don't care a lot. I, you know, quite frankly, I could just throw it away and wouldn't care what happened to it. So, y'all know I didn't really throw his phone over there. But thank you, Jason. Give him a hand. What I wanted to do, I wanted to demonstrate how even though that was his phone, you all had put a value in your head about his phone, which related to how you all value your own stuff. And, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible that God tells us to put value in stuff. Joe talked about it last week. You know, we don't need to put our value in stuff that's corruptible, that's going to go away. Be honest with you. You know what God can do? Y'all remember when the hurricane came through and all the power was out? That phone ain't worth nothing when the power is out, right? It is of no good to anybody. So just like that, corruptible stuff, corruptible matter, it can go away. It doesn't mean anything. Let me tell you what really means something. People. You Bible scholars, tell me this. What's the greatest commandment? Love God, and then love others, right? So what God actually tells us to do is not to value stuff, but to value others, to value people. I'm so proud of this church, and it, again, if you're new here, you might not realize it. We don't pass a plate here. We actually take up offering. We believe what you give is between you and God. But a couple weeks ago, all of this property, we actually paid off. You know, God has blessed us, yes, blessed us through our stewardship, not passing a plate, not begging for money, not selling chicken dinners. This is stuff we did when I was a kid, y'all. But by your stewardship and by your giving, we did it in record time. This church has existed for 50 years, if you don't know our history, and started out up on a hill under a tent. And God blessed us to prosper and build these facilities, not for our use, but so that we could share them for others to spread his word. And we paid this property off. And what it allows us to do is to do what God has commanded us to do, which is go and spread the word. And what we were able to do last year, I had to dig for this picture, but last year, when we talk about valuing people, we were blessed to be able to go over to Africa and share, and this is just one of the pictures, I didn't have time to show all of them, to share what we did with this tribe in Africa. And you talk about in relation a value system here. This tribe did not have a water system. They would have to walk for miles to be able to go and bring water into the village. And because of your contributions and a group of people that left here, went over and helped establish a well and an irrigation system for this village so that they could have running water. Okay? Value in water. Okay? Water that we don't think about, we would take a hose and use it and run and wash the dog with water and not think about losing that clean water. And some of us are so blessed, we actually can send our dog to somebody else and let them and pay them to use their water to wash the dog with. Because, yeah, and this is a dog washer right there if y'all need a dog washer. But when you think about a value system of America as opposed to the other world, how blessed we are. We think we're not rich, but we really are rich. We're able to bring school supplies over to these kids last year, give them pencils that they were so happy to get, stuff that they didn't have that our kids really don't think about. You know, even when I was in school, I would break pencils up and put them between my fingers and break them, play a game, stuff like that. You know, throw them away, not think of things. It gives you a perspective of value. So you say, you know what? I give to the church. I do love people. I value people. And we were able to go over to Africa and bless these children. But valuing people takes on a different perspective when that person's a little bit closer. All right? So what about those people? Y'all see any of those people up there on that screen? Those people. You're riding down the road and you see a bumper sticker on the car in front of you and it has one of those particular symbols on it. And your perspective of people changes. Your value of people changes because of a bumper sticker. And you don't know nothing about the person that's in that car, but God says, love me and love others. Do you really value people? How do you get past the symbols and things? Whatever your category of those people are, all of us have some of those people in our lives that get on our last nerve, that we don't understand why they think this way or why they think that way. But God tells us to love them. People have value, as Seth said, to God. Have value to God. Do they have value to us? This is something that the church needs to work on, because how is it that the church came from a group of people in Acts that started growing and building and multiplying and spreading because of the love they showed for each other and all the commonalities they had, to some over the thousands of denominations of people that the Catholics won't sit with, the Baptists won't sit with, the Presbyterians won't sit with, these kind of people, in what's supposed to be God's people, the church? We can't even come together. And how are we going to come together with those people that don't have anything in common or don't want anything to do with Jesus? We got to do a better job of valuing people. Yeah, y'all can say amen. Come on now. What do you value? Do you value God? I stole this next slide from Joe's sermon last week because I thought it was so important. Because the stuff that we put value in, we always put value in because of our abilities that we do, our time and our money. When I was collecting these comics, I put my time and money into these comics. You might have a niche or something you like to do that you can put your ability. A lot of you have lots of different gifts, lots of different abilities. Some of you may be retired, have a lot more time. Some of you actually have a lot of money. There are some people that do pretty good, and God has blessed you. But how do you relate this to God? We tend to separate the two things because we can't say, you know, we put it in church and we value church. You know, yeah, Chris, I value church. I sing on the band or I'm a red shirt, or I do ushering, or I come out and I do groundskeeping. I give my abilities and I give my time to the church. Or you might say this, you know what? I've been tithing ever since I was a kid, and I'm a good steward, and I give my money to the church. But how does that relate to actually how God wants us to relate to people? Because there can be an emptiness or a shallowness in doing some of these things. Paying. We can't pay God anything. And you know what? He doesn't really need us for anything. So when you're giving your abilities, time, and money, for what reason actually is it? Is it to make you feel good? Some people like to give to charity because it makes them feel good. Some people like to do stuff. You know, we see this every Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know, oh, the people need a meal. I'm going to give something. It makes me feel good. And then how do you treat that same person? Or if that person knocked on your door, it's good to throw money at stuff. But how does that relate to your relationship or your value system? We're going to be taking up a collection for these children. Want y'all to be able to bring your money in on March. We need $10,000 because we're going to send a group over to India, and we're going to build beds for these children. This is an Indian orphanage over here. Beds. We take for granted beds. These kids need beds. They need $10,000 for beds. And, you know, I say that to give you an idea, because there are people in this church, in this audience that I'm talking to, that actually could stroke a check for $10,000 and we don't even need to raise no money. And there is such a thing as a gift of giving, and God could put it on your heart to be the one that blesses these kids. Now, I'm not up here begging. And in this church, I'm so thankful. We are not a church that sits up here and begs people to give. But there's some 1,000 people that come through here every week for one reason or another. And even if that 1,000 gave $10 a piece, we would have this need met. I know I spend that much or more probably on coffee every week. Yo, I don't go to Starbucks. I'm too cheap for Starbucks. I told y'all I'm cheap, you know. I'll drink the dollar coffee at the gas station every day before I go to Starbucks. But when you think about what our value system really is, think about the stuff we waste time in our money and our abilities on that don't count. Like Jesse said earlier, the trivial stuff that doesn't really matter. So if giving my time, giving my money, giving my abilities, you know, may not be enough, what actually does it cost to follow God? Can you put a price tag on it? You might not be able to put a price tag on it, but I can certainly give you an answer. And it's not my answer, because this answer is in the Bible. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me.'" If you try to hang on to your life, what will happen? You're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So what does it cost to follow God? Everything. It costs your life. And this is what people don't like to hear when they come to church, because they value their life and their stuff more than they value God. Ouch. It says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me." That ain't easy. The cross. The cross is the Roman form of an electric chair. So what does he say? He says, every day you got to die to yourself. Every day you got to forget about the trivial stuff. You got to forget about the stuff. You have to be kingdom-minded. When we talked about those parables and the person, he sold out. He gave up everything to get that treasure so he could have that treasure. This is what this is talking about. We have to sell out in order to get what it is we actually are after. That precious pearl. We all want the stuff that we put value in. But we do it different ways, and a lot of times we're doing it the wrong way because we value the things that take up all of our abilities, all of our time, and all of our money, and it's going to end up being stuff that we're going to lose in the end anyway. It's corruptible stuff. People usually put appraisals and values on things as to how corruptible it is or whatever, because you know, when you think about jewelry and precious stones and gold and silver, lots of that stuff is not as corruptible as would be these comic books. You've got to take a lot more care of those. But look at what it says. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You can't put a price tag on your soul. And, you know, I can't understand why people will go around and say, "Yeah, Chris, it's okay. You do this church thing and you do this Christian thing or whatever, but, you know, all that's good and stuff like that, but, you know, I'm not ready. I want to have fun. I want to live my life to the fullest," and not ready to die to themselves and take up the cross and follow me. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for you? Because some of you come in here week after week after week to listen to the good music, to hear the preaching, to drink the coffee and donuts, to get stuff that makes you feel good, but there is no change because you do not have any value in God because you don't want to give up anything. And he says, "I need you to die daily. I need for you to take up your cross and follow me." There are people that spend all of their lives accumulating things, accumulating stuff. And you know it's true. I don't know what your financial value or anything is here, but you hear about it all the time. Rich people that are still stealing, or rich people that are commit suicide because all of the stuff they spent all their life accumulating didn't come down to meaning anything. Because when it comes down to your soul, then you can figure out what value you have. When you're in that hospital and you don't know whether you're going to live till the next day, it don't matter how much money you have in the bank at that point. Because I guarantee you, all of those people that had all of that money, and if God allows them to come to the reality of, am I going to live or die, I guarantee you they would give up all that money in order to be able to live a little bit longer, because there is no value
There's no value in all of that stuff people accumulated. How about this? Somebody said, you know, I don't know about that God thing. I don't believe in that God thing. You might be an atheist or you're wasting your time. And, you know, I'm going to live my life to the fullest. So I'm going to have fun. Let me tell you when they go start thinking about the value of their soul. Put a gun to their head. Why would they be afraid if you're going to pull the trigger or not if there was no value, if they didn't have some sense of a reality of what's going to happen to me if he blows my head off? Because tomorrow's not promised to anybody, and some of us don't have a chance to think about whether or not I'm going to be here or I'm going to be gone, because Satan is busy and he's taking people out left and right. Jesse talked about it this morning. Friend lost their 20-year-old. And it's not, you know, we discriminate against people. We have our people groups and things like that, but Satan don't have no particular people group. He'll take out anybody. He don't care. As long as he can separate you from Jesus Christ, he's going to do whatever he can to take you out of here. Care how much money you got? Because his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Y'all know it. Y'all know the scripture. I like that. So I do these nouns and verbs and definition things all the time because I like for you all to understand the breakdown of words, but I thought I'd try math this time, and I'm not good. I'm not the math person. My wife's the math person. But I thought about value again and something I learned in school years ago. Absolute value. The distance from the point to zero. Distance is always positive or zero. And I thought about how much value God puts in us. He loves us. Seth so beautifully did this in communion. He loves us so much that he puts all of the value on us because he actually gave up the most precious thing, his son, Jesus Christ. And if you put that cross on ground zero, let me tell you something. It don't matter how far to the right or how far to the left, his value in you is always positive. So I don't care how bad you think you are or how far you are away from God, you might not have a lot of value in yourself, but you know what? God has immeasurable value in you. I'm going to prove it to you here. Word of God says, Romans 8. I say, I always try to come out the Bible because Chris Freeman can say a lot of stupid stuff, but if I say it out of here, you can't argue with this. Romans 8, this starts with 31. It says here, what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him up for all of us. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, he has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who can separate us from his love? Nothing. Nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. We put that cross at ground zero. We have absolute value. God values you. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. His most valuable possession. That's what you're worth. You're worth the life of Jesus Christ. He was willing to pay the highest price in the universe to redeem you, the blood of his only son. I got tied up in this pearl thing. I couldn't really hang on to why pearls were valuable and stuff, so I had to call my friend, Elder Dave Bennett. Dave is the owner of Nature Coast Jewelers. I have to give him a shameless plug. If you need jewelry, you can go see Dave. But Dave is a gemologist, and I said, Dave, can you tell me how you value a pearl? This is what Dave sent back to me. He said, there's several factors that determine the value of a pearl: color, shape, luster, size, and blemishes. The more rare and or beautiful the color, the more valuable it will be. Also, different colors add to value, such as a rare black pearl. As far as shape, the closer to perfectly round it is, the more valuable. If it's a strand or something with multiple pearls, then consistency of size and shape as compared to each other adds to the value. Luster is the way the pearl reacts to light. Higher value pearls will have multiple colors showing through and dancing with different light. Dave gave me a lot more than what I wanted because I can't understand a lot of this stuff. But he's a gemologist, so he gave me his gemologist answer. But this is the one that I got from him. He said size is an easy one. The bigger the pearl, the more rare, and therefore the more valuable. So my curiosity took me to the point of saying, what's the biggest pearl? And this is a picture of it. It weighs 75 pounds. It is valued at $100 million. And this is the story. I was laughing. A Filipino guy got this. I don't know if Midge knows him or not. But so let me show you how dumb Filipinos are. This dude had this pearl hidden in his bedroom for 10 years because he thought it was going to bring him good luck. So he had the pearl, he got it, he had it in his bed for 10 years, and it didn't bring him good luck because his house burned down. And you know, he got the pearl out of the house, and he gave it to a relative because he didn't have any place to keep it anymore. And the relative was like, you dummy, this pearl's worth a lot of money. So they actually took it and got the proper people on it, and it was evaluated at, this was in 2016, it was valued at $100 million. But I said that I ought to say this. We put numbers on values of things, and we have different relation points as to what the value of certain things are. But the guy really had no idea that this pearl was what it was worth. And when we go back to these parables, and we said that the treasure was hidden, it's the same way that the Word of God is with some of us. We don't have any idea of the value of the Word of God and what it means to lose everything and sell out and connect ourselves to the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think it's through doing things, through paying money or being busy in the church or even coming here. But I tell you what, it's worth more than that. And one other thing you may like or not like, but you can get down in that water, all you want, get back up. If you have not committed to giving your life to Christ and truly repenting, then all you did was get wet. You have to, go ahead. You have to understand what true salvation is. It is truly turning your life around and giving it to Christ. And some of you have come to me after I preached and said, you know what, I hear what you say, but I'm not ready. It's nothing for you to get ready for. I was talking to a brother out in the coffee room after the first service. He said, you know, Chris, after I really let go and gave it to God, he's turning things around for me. He's making things so much better. God does it. We can't do anything to make a situation better for ourselves, but give ourselves to Him and let go and let Him turn us around. And that treasure, if and when we find it, is going to be something that is worth more than we'll ever, I don't care how much money you got, we'll never be able to pay for it. I asked the band to come up and end in this song. And y'all hang around because this song really blesses me. And it's a song that talks about numbers. That's not a cell phone, Dre. That's what the hell. Talks about a real value and how Christ values us. And I want you to praise the Lord with us as we minister in this song.